This evening's scripture is from Luke 15, 8 and 10, 8 through 10. That's Luke chapter 15, 8 through 10. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Get all my switches flipped here. We want to welcome you here again this evening. We're happy to see you today. It has been a nice day so far as the sunshine is concerned. Just a little on the cool side, but then I guess in November you begin to expect that a little bit, don't you? And of course, by going on daylight saving time, it's darker than pitch at 5:30, or at least almost as dark as pitch at 5:30. And that's about the time the deer like to get out and start hunting water and roaming around on the roads instead of staying in the woods where they ought to be. And so we have to be more careful this time of the day than a month or so ago. This evening we want to study the parable of the lost coin. Several weeks ago, maybe two or three months ago now, I don't remember exactly when, someone asked me to preach a sermon on a certain parable, and I did. And there was so much appreciation expressed for that, that I just kept on going until we finished all of the kingdom parables in Matthew chapter 13, and then I began to study others with you. You let me know when you're bored with parables, and we'll go on to something else and come back to this sometime. But if you don't say something, we may just study the whole 48 of them, because it would make a pretty good year of Sunday night study, in my opinion. Tonight we're going to look at the parable of the lost coin. Luke chapter 15 deals with lost things. There's a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost boy. Of this chapter, Brother Neil Lightfoot, former teacher at Abilene Christian College, university it is now, said that the 15th chapter of Luke is perhaps the most priceless chapter in the Bible. Certainly no chapter is more tender and more lovely. He went on to say, for centuries it has been called the gospel in the gospels, and the story of the prodigal boy who lost everything has been known as the pearl of parables. And if God is willing, and we live until next week, that's the parable that we'll be studying next Sunday evening, unless so many of you complain about parables after this evening's lesson that I decide not to do so. But at any rate, as we continue to look at this parable, we want to remember a few things that we studied last week when we studied the parable of the lost sheep, beginning in Luke chapter 15 and verse 5. We pointed out in our last study that the sheep was lost because it wandered away, not knowing where it was going, and it couldn't find its way back. In this parable, the lost coin, we deal with the lost coin which was lost due to neglect, indifference, or carelessness on the part of another. And so, though lost through no fault of its own, the coin was still lost, you see. Sometimes we get the idea, if something happens and it's no fault of ours, that we are not in any way, shape, or form at fault. But that's not true. And we can illustrate that with various things that take place in life. But our text in Luke 15, 8 through 10 reads, Or what woman? Now, Jesus told the first parable about the lost sheep. He hardly took a breath, if you please. He continued on almost, and of course in the Greek it is this way, almost in one big long sentence. He said, Or what woman having 10 coins? If she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it. Now these people understood this. They knew that any woman who lost a coin, a silver coin at that, would indeed in broad daylight light a lamp and sweep the whole house until she found that missing coin. And we'll find some of the reasons why as we continue this evening. And when she has found it, Jesus said, she calls her friends and neighbors together saying, "Rejoice with me." That's what the shepherd said when he found the lost sheep, wasn't it? "For I have found the peace which I lost." Likewise, Jesus said, "I say to you, there is joy in heaven." Some translations say more joy in heaven. In the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Several matters of importance are to be noted in this brief little parable. The first one is that the parable is true to the customs of that day, which authenticates the scripture. Because as Wayne Jackson pointed out in his book, The Parables in Profile, it was often the case that women and girls wore coins, silver coins, as ornaments. Now, there are people who still do that today. From time to time, you'll see someone who wears $2.50 gold piece or $5 gold piece or $10 gold piece around their neck as a necklace. I saw a lady, not sure where, not long ago, who had a pair of earrings made out of $5 gold pieces. So we know her head was worth at least $10, don't we? Well, actually, the going price for a late 1800 or early 1900 $5 gold piece is about, depending on the condition it's in, low price $450, high price about $900. So her head may have been worth more than her car, for all I know. But women and girls wore these ornamental coins, and these were highly prized, and they were often handed down from generation to generation as heirlooms. And so if you lose a coin out of your headdress, a headdress that belonged to your grandmother or your great-grandmother, you're going to value that coin more highly than you might value an ordinary silver coin, and you're going to do what you can to find it. Ancient houses had no openings, usually, other than the door, and they were very dark. And as a result of that, lamps had to be lighted to find things even in broad daylight. When the sun was shining outside, it was dark in the house. And so in this parable, the woman who had lost one of the coins, perhaps from her headdress or perhaps from a necklace, but a silver coin nevertheless, the Bible says that she lighted a lamp to find it. Now, though it was only a silver coin and would not be considered of any great value to us today, although there are some U.S. silver dollars that are worth thousands of dollars, this coin was of immense value to her. She grieved at its being lost, and she determined she would find it. She resolved to do everything in her power to find this coin. So she lighted her light, and she began to diligently sweep the house until she found this coin. Ancient houses often had dirt floors, particularly among the poor. And on these floors, there were either straw mats, or straw was simply scattered about, you know. So if you spill something, the straw will soak it up. And so this woman would have to take her little broom, also made of straw, and begin sweeping every corner, every nook and cranny of the house until she found the coin. Something lost on the floor would be extremely difficult to find. Did you ever lose something about the same color as your carpet? I do from time to time, and I'm down on all fours, and sometimes I don't find it until I put my hand on it. Imagine what it would be like seeking for something in a house that's floor was covered with straw. And so, it was very difficult to find. So she found it necessary to be very, very diligent. There are similarities between the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. Number one, in both cases, the one doing the seeking represents Christ coming to seek and to save that which was lost, as he told Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. In both cases, that which was lost was considered to be of great value to the owner, as I pointed out regarding a sheep last week. The owner, of course, would be Christ. In both cases, great effort was put forth on the part of the owner to find his valuable possession. But there are also differences between these two parables, the lost sheep and the lost coin. The sheep had wandered away. It knew it was lost, but it did not know how to return to the shepherd. The coin, on the other hand, was inadvertently lost, and since it was an inanimate object, that is, a non-living thing, it did not even know that it was lost. I can remember as a boy, on occasion, losing pennies. I never liked to lose pennies. They were about the same color as the ground, and they were very, very hard to find, but they were worth searching for. Not long ago, I was in the mall, and I saw a penny on the floor. And so I stooped down and picked it up. And when I raised up, there was a lady standing there looking at me like I was crazy. You mean you stooped over to pick up a penny? Well, perhaps it's long-standing habit, but I grinned at her and says, proves I'm not a fat man. She said, why? I said, a fat man won't bend over to pick up a penny. And so she kind of chuckled and went on her way, and I was a penny richer than I had been when I started through that mall, you see. And what was it that the great Benjamin Franklin said about a penny? A penny saved is a penny earned, isn't it? All right. The coin was inadvertently lost. Nobody intentionally loses anything. And since it was an inanimate object, it didn't even know it was lost. Have you ever found a coin and have the coin say, boy, am I glad you found me? No, it doesn't say anything. It just stays where it was. So this was so true of the Jews to whom Jesus spoke. Some of them were lost because they deliberately wandered away from God. Others were lost and didn't even know it. And so Jesus had to speak to them. The publicans and the sinners were lost, and they knew it. They're represented by the sheep. The self-righteous Pharisees, on the other hand, were lost, and they didn't know it. And they weren't about to accept it if someone told them so. So they were like the coin. These Pharisees constantly murmured against Jesus because he ate with and taught the publicans and the sinners. They didn't like that at all. They were self-righteous persons to whom Jesus said on another occasion, you search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me. Jesus said you just search the scriptures all the time because you think you're going to find eternal life in them. What do? You read right over top of the one who has come to give you eternal life. And so they may have been Bible scholars, but they weren't the best in the world, were they? In what sense then were the coin and the sheep lost? In order to determine that, we need to look at the definition of the biblical word lost. The word lost comes from apolumai, and it means to be destroyed. The sheep was as good as dead had it not been found by its shepherd. The coin was as good as buried had it not been found by its mistress. Thayer says that it means not only to destroy, but to put out of the way entirely, to abolish, to put an end to ruin. So it's a terrible thing to be a lost sheep or a lost coin, isn't it? Hence, both the sheep and the coin were as good as destroyed. And had they not been found by those who were seeking them, they would have been destroyed. Some other germane points regarding the lost coin are these. As ancient coins bore the image of Caesar, at least that's what Jesus said, so each lost person bears the image of his master. Furthermore, and I'm not talking about God, furthermore, as the lost coin is of no value to its owner, so a lost person is of no value to God. Think about that. When I was developing this point to put in this sermon, I just got downright sad, I guess, would be a good word to think, that all of these people out here, wonderful people, good people, are of absolutely no value whatsoever to God. Why? Because they're lost. Still, God values him or her, as the case might be, greatly, and longs to have that coin, him or her, in his possession again. Isn't that wonderful? That's marvelous. I'll tell you, I have a hard time wrapping my mind around that. I have a hard time wondering, what does God see in humanity that I don't see? We want to kill one another in the name of religion. We rob one another. We lie to one another. You name it and we do it. Why in the world is he even interested in us? I've thought and thought and thought and thought about that sometimes till I almost get a headache. And the only thing I can come up with is, because he made me in his image, he wants me back. Well, like the woman, God used and uses every means at his disposal to find a lost sinner, as seen through the woman's diligence. She went out of her way to find that coin. She didn't say, well, okay, so it's gone. If I ever come across it, hooray, and if I don't, that's okay. She lighted her light, or her lamp, and she diligently swept every nook and cranny of the house until she found the coin. So God has used and uses every available means to find his lost people. He gave Christ to die on the cross. That was the greatest sacrifice that he made, in my opinion. He gave the gospel to be preached. Of course, if the gospel were not preached, we would not know that Christ died on the cross for us, would we? He worked and works providentially to bring teacher and sinner together oftentimes. He used and uses Christians to carry out his commission. Go preach the gospel to every creature. He designed the church as a place to put his people and as our place of service. He promised the rewards of eternal life and salvation to attract us to him. He worked diligently for 4,000 years, if we've counted the years in the Old Testament correctly, to make all ready for us to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Friends, that's what I call preparation. He showered us with love that we don't deserve. He has shown his grace, which is beyond our understanding. He has granted mercy to those who deserve to remain eternally separated from him. I ask you, what more could God do for us? I can't think of a thing. The only thing he can do is what the woman did when she found her lost coin. Jesus said in Luke chapter 15 and verse 9, and when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. And in ancient times they would have. There would have been a party to celebrate that find. Then Jesus added these words. The same message, incidentally, that's found in the parable of the lost sheep. He said in Luke 15:10, likewise, I say to you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. That was an open invitation to the Pharisees and the scribes to whom he was speaking upon this occasion to repent. And they missed it. They missed it. Jesus wanted the Pharisees, those who were lost and didn't know it because of their self-righteousness, to be saved too. We need to be careful about self-righteousness. This is not in the sermon, but I'll throw it in and not charge you anything extra. But we need to be careful about self-righteousness. A brother in Christ, I used to hear people in the denominational world who believed in the second blessing of sanctification. I don't think anybody in the denominational world knows what that is anymore. But I heard of a brother in Christ who must have believed something very similar to that, make the boast just a few days before he died. He died very quickly and unexpectedly. Tell another brother that he hadn't committed a sin in 25 years. I'd be afraid of that kind of self-righteousness. I'd be afraid to make a boast like that. We need to be careful about self-righteousness, brethren. My friend, are you lost and up until this time you have not known it? You can be found today, not by your sweeping the house, but by your believing in Jesus Christ with all your heart, by repenting of all of your sin that you've committed, all of it, and resolve that with the help of God, you certainly intend not to do it again, by confessing the sweet name of Jesus. You know, I read the story of the Ethiopian eunuch over and over and over. You know why? I just love it when I come to the scene where he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, Peter made that confession. Martha made that confession. But you see, Peter had lived with Jesus. Martha knew Jesus well. The Ethiopian eunuch had only heard of him in one sermon from Philip. And then he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Was anything ever more beautiful than that spoken by the mouth of a human? By being baptized or immersed into him for the remission of your sins, then you will have become a Christian and you will have come to the place that you are to begin living a faithful life. But you can't live a faithful life until you become a Christian. God diligently this evening seeks your soul. He's still looking. He's still sweeping, if you please. Dear brother or sister, if you've done what I've just mentioned, but you're not faithful to him, you're not true to him, if you still believe in Jesus, will you allow him to find you once again? How do you do that? We beg you to repent of all sin against him. Publicly confess all public sin against him. Pray with us for total forgiveness, and God will grant just as much as we pay for and repent of. God and his angels wait to rejoice if you'll come to Jesus Christ this evening as we stand together and as we sing.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my